Thank God he's given us another opportunity that we're able to gather this way in his house once again. Count it a privilege. We thank God for the visitors that's come this way tonight. If you consider yourself a visitor, we appreciate you being here in service with us. We do have an interest and a desire in your prayers tonight that the Lord might help us, that we might be able to exalt his holy name, that we might be able to lift him up. Said to last night that was our main focus, is to lift Jesus up, because it's all about him. All of it. Thankful for Brother Bradley, or Brother Brad. Still figuring out which one to call him. Brother Brad, but grown to love him, like we said last night, and his family, and I consider him a friend of mine. And he spoke a lot of truth last night. A lot of truth. Gave us a lot to meditate on today. And certainly, I hope as it did you well as well, that if revival comes, it comes from God. Power from on high. I can't manifest it. He can't manifest it. You can't manifest it, but only God can. It comes from on high. Certainly tonight, as we thought about this, and the Lord gave us this thought a few days ago, and we just want to trust in the Lord tonight on the thought he's given us. And our thought tonight is a true friend. A true friend. And I want you to think tonight as we go through this and we try to bring forth the message. And I want to try to slow down a little bit tonight if the Lord will be your help. There's some thoughts tonight. If the Lord will help us, I want to try to get it out. And I want to try to slow down a little bit. I want to try to bring it out. And I want each and every person here tonight, I don't want you to ponder upon me. And Brother Bradley made mention last night that sometimes I may do things that necessarily don't have to be done. But I want to step out of the way tonight, and I want Jesus, his Spirit, to fill this place. That's what I desire. I want tonight you to see the presence. I want you to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want that to be so thick in this place. But we need to be prayerful for that God would continue to pass by. So, when we think about this tonight, I want you to think about a true friend. And I want you to think about what he means to you. What is it that he means to you? When we think about a revival, and we think about the power of God, and God sending revival, first and foremost, no doubt, God's people ought to desire revival in their heart. How long has it been since you felt revived? How long has it been since you felt the Spirit coming in your heart and it stirred up something in there? He talked last night about maybe knocking a little of the dust off. How long has it been since you felt that Spirit that dwells down in here? Has it been a while? What about your true friend? What about the one that made it that way? What about the one that placed his Spirit in there? How long has it been since you thought about him? And tonight, with the Lord's help, I want to try to bring that out. If we'll go over into 1 Samuel, I want to take for a reading tonight in 1 Samuel. And we'll go to the 18th chapter. And tonight I realize as we back up just a little bit, and we examine here David and how he had been anointed there. And we find here that no doubt that he had, if you will, come there and defeated that Goliath and the Philistines. And we know that he had overcame that great army there, that as he had stood up there in the presence that no other man would. And here he was, that he was just a little young shepherd's boy, if you will, that he came out with just what God had given him, which would be the talent that he had, which would be his sling in there. And he went down by the brook and choosed out 5 smooth stones, as Scripture teaches us. But yet, with even in all of that, how he had came there and made himself capable and able for God to use him, we find here in the 18th chapter where we want to take a reading. And it says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and he gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And I want to stop there for a moment, and I want to examine here, and our thought would be Jonathan loved him as he loved his own soul. Now tonight here, as we realize, no doubt that David, as we said before, had been anointed, and know that God had anointed him to become king of Israel, and no doubt here it is that he had overcame this Philistine, this great big giant Goliath, and God had allowed him and gave him courage to be able to step out and to do those things. Now Saul being the king here at this appointed time, and Jonathan being his son, and we know here that through inheritance that Jonathan was to take the throne. But yet knowing what God had done, Jonathan looked back and seen what God was allowing to take place, and knowing God's great plan that he had before him, he stepped back and examined this situation with no envy in his heart. There was no strife in his heart. There was no jealousy in his heart, for Jonathan had every rightful heir there to that throne as long as his father had done what was according to God, that God had lined out for him to do. As long as he was willing to do that, as long as Saul was willing to follow and trust in God, he had an inheritance that lied out before him. Now tonight I want you to know that I'm not necessarily going that route with it, but I do want us to examine here a great friendship that the Scripture points to. And it says here in the 18th chapter, and pray for us that we're able to get this thought out. And it says here it says that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And it says there, as we go down, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. I want you to know tonight, first and foremost, before church, that we're ever going to see a revival, before we ever get down to a place to where we can truly worship God, I believe in all of my heart we've got to go back from time to time to that place where God saved us, where He redeemed us, where we come to the knowledge and the experience of what it was to have true love. That's what I'm talking about tonight. What it is to have experienced true love. I want you to know tonight here that, as Jonathan said, that it said that Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. It says there that they were knit together. Tonight I want you to know that I've had a great many of friendships, and I've had the opportunity to have loved a great many of people. But I'm telling you tonight that this was a friendship here, my friend, that should make us all jealous of what Jonathan and David had. It was something, my friend, of great excellence. It was something to be marveled at. It was something tonight that each and every one of us should desire that we would have, not only with those of us that are around us, with our brothers and sisters, but my friend, tonight, that we ought to love Christ this much. He said that he loved David as he loveth his own soul. I've known a great many of people throughout my life, as I said before, that said that they loved me. They said that they loved me a great deal. But now I'm telling you, there's one thing to say that you love somebody, and it's another thing to show how much you love somebody. I'm telling you tonight, as we sit here and examine this, David was no of great, as far as Jonathan could see, he was no of great prestige, if you will. He come there as just a shepherd's boy tending to his father's flock. He had no great clothes about him. Well, he couldn't even bear the armor there that Saul had. What any count would you look upon him if you remember there that his brother even laughed to scorn, if you will? What are you going to do, little David? And he looked out and said, is there not a cause? Tonight I want you to know, is there not a cause? As we sit here and examine this, it says Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Tonight I want you to know that there is a friend, my friend, far beyond anything that you could ever imagine. So much that he loves you as much as he loves his own soul. Loves his own self, if you will. So much. You look there tonight and it says there that Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as he loved his own soul. I want you to know tonight, church, that if you've ever been saved, there's a covenant that's been made. There's been many covenants that we can read about down through the Scripture. There's been many great things that we can read about through the promises of God. But I want you to know tonight that there are and has been covenants that God has made with His people. And tonight, if you've been saved and you've experienced that experimental salvation, if you have a knowledge of experimental salvation, if you know what it is to been saved, to be born again, then tonight I want you to know that there has been a covenant that's been made. Y'all pray for me. A covenant, a great promise, a pledge, if you will, a promise. Tonight, I want you to know when we examine this, that we look over here and I want to see, if you will, let's go over here to Ecclesiastes for just a moment. Ecclesiastes in the 4th chapter. In the 9th verse, he said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together when they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. He said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. He said, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Tonight I want you to know, as you sit there, and maybe you sit there last night and you said, boy, I want the power of God to come into this place. And boy, I tell you, church, I've been wanting that for a long time myself. I've been looking for revival. I've been looking for God's Spirit to descend into this place. And I'll tell you tonight that, honey, it ain't about my preaching. It ain't about Brother Brad's preaching. Me and him talked about that. You can call the most capable there is. But my friend tonight, if we want God's help, if we want the Spirit to descend into this place, then we need to start talking to the friend that we made long ago. How long has it been? You say, well, preacher, I'm just as cold as I can be. I'm just as indifferent as I can be. It's been a long time since I felt His Spirit. Listen to what He says over here. He says, for if they fall, and the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone with he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. My friend, when you're walking and you're trying your very best in this life to walk alone, and you think you've got everything going about it the way you want it to, and you've got everything lined out the way you want it lined out, you've got the job you want, you've got the life you want, you've got the kids you want. But my friend, if you don't have Jesus, if you don't know Him, then my friend, you don't have nothing. You don't have nothing. You don't know. He said, woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he not another to help him up. I'm thankful for the times down in my life that when I fell, that God was there to help me and pick me up again. Many times down through my life, I know that there are some, listen to me tonight, I realize that maybe in your mind you've not seen great miracles happen. Maybe you've not seen or even thought about some of the things that the Scripture teaches. But I'll tell you tonight that when God passes through our life and He helps us, my friend, God is still able to move mountains that are in our life. He's still able. We still serve the same God. He's not changed. As Jonathan was over there, he said he loved David as he loved his own soul. I told you before that I've had a great amount of friends. But I'll tell you this, there's been a great number of them that's let me down through the years. But I'll tell you one that has never let me down. And that's Jesus. To me, the old story will never grow old. The gospel message of the good news will never grow old. Tonight I want you to go back with me. And I want you to remember what it was when you was lost and separated from God. I want you to remember what it felt like. I want you to remember tonight as you go back and you begin to hear the gospel being preached to you. How long has it been since you thought about what Christ went through for you? How long has it been since you went back and you thought about what Brother Brad was preaching last night, about the many afflictions and the many things that he went through? How long has it been? He said last night that oftentimes he goes back to the gospel. He goes back to the story of the crucifixion. Boy, we can't get away from that. That's the essence. That's it. Tonight, I want you to ponder upon that. I want you to ponder tonight upon a great love. Tonight, when we think about Jesus, our mind goes back. We read about Him over there throughout the Gospels that it says there that He was scourged and that He was a crown was placed upon His head. And then tonight as we began to think about that and Brother Bradley was talking last night about that cat of nine tails, I want you to know a little bit more about that. The Scripture teaches us that by His stripes we are healed. If I don't get nothing else to you tonight, I want you to know before you leave this place just how much He loved you. Oftentimes when we read that scripture, most people don't even know what that means. What that was it was a device, if you will, that they would use there in the floggings and the whippings there. And it was, a whip about this long or so, and it had braided ends that would come out, and sometimes they would put little metal lead balls there in the end of it, or it would have pieces of bone in it sometimes, sheep bone. And they would take the one there that was to be flogged, and they would tie his arms up around a post, if you will, around a column, if you will. There it was made public. And they began to whip on him. And they began to keep whipping on him. No doubt, when they the Pharisees and the scribes, and they brought him there before Pilate, no doubt, Pilate didn't know him. No doubt, wanted to make, an example of him. Surely this Jesus is a troublemaker. They brought him to me. We'll whip him, we'll scourge him, they said. They took him and they led him there. And they took that whip. I want you to go back in your mind. And they began to whip him. And I'm not just talking about whipping him just for an allotted amount of time, but I'm telling you, my friend, that that whip pulled flesh from him. It tore into his flesh. And it ripped the flesh out from his back and around his legs and no doubt probably wrapped around his chest. And every time they whipped him, it would pull flesh, blood. Every time. We read about over there, I told y'all I wanted to slow down tonight. Talks about over there in Deuteronomy, I want to read that. In the 25th chapter. Y'all pray for me, I'll get this thought out just here shortly. He said, if there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, and that they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And if it be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down, and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed. Least if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. He's saying there that there in that time that if there was to be a public whipping there in that Jewish, there in their law, if you will, that they weren't to exceed 40 stripes. And even if you go over there and you read about it, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. It talks about over there how Paul had been beaten several times, and it says that he hadn't exceeded 39 stripes. And oftentimes I begin to think about that. Just how many stripes did it take that we might be healed? Through his stripes we're healed. How many stripes did it take that we might be healed? How many? Was it enough for 40? You say, well, that's what the law said. That was under Jewish law. My friend, they had been brought before the Romans. I don't know how many times tonight that he was beaten. I don't know how many times tonight that he was whipped. But I'll tell you this, it was enough. It was sufficient. It said over there in Deuteronomy that he might not be humiliated, I believe. I began to think about what Brother Moran taught a subject. He taught a subject several years ago that I thoroughly enjoyed. At Old Union. And he talked about Philip and the eunuch. And he said this. He said, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from earth? He said, in his humiliation. My friend, I can tell you right now that those Romans there that was whipping him, that we might be healed by his stripes, I'm pretty sure that they weren't too awful concerned about the 39. I don't know for sure, but what I'll tell you is this. They began to whip him, and flesh came off of him. Now I'm telling you tonight, church and lost people, I'm telling you tonight, this is your friend. Jonathan said that he loved David as he loved his own soul. My question is tonight, do you love him? You know what the Lord said? How much are we to love him? Well, he made it very clear. Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thine mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And second is like unto it, and then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He loved David as he loved his own soul. Listen to me tonight, church. If you've been saved, he's made a covenant with you. He's made a promise with you. It's in him who I'm trusting. It's in him who I'm thankful for that came to this lowly earth, who had everything, who had it all in the glories of heaven, who had it all, that there in the holy council that said, who will go? And he said, I'll go. And he came down, and I'm talking about the Son of God that was born there in a stable there in Bethlehem. There where we talk about all the time, well, you must have been born in a barn. You don't know a lot. Honey, I'm telling you, the Savior of the world was born in a barn. In a feed trough. The Son of God, born in a barn, underneath the stars. His mama took him and laid him in a manger. That's your friend. That's the one you're trusting in. That's the one that's made a covenant with you. That's the one that's made a promise with you. When we come into God's house, you want revival, my friend? Go back and remember that time, my friend, that you loved him, that you exalted him for everything, for every stripe that he took, for the crown of thorns that was laid upon his head. My friend, for everything, for the time that he was spit on, for the time that his beard hair was plucked from him. My friend, when they took him and laid him down upon the cross, and they nailed his hands, and they nailed his feet, and it was in his humiliation . What is it to love? Have you ever known a friendship like that before? I ain't never known anybody else to love me that much. I've never known anybody else that can know me completely and wholly and everything about me and yet still die for me. I've never known that kind of love. You ask me what the hardest thing it is to explain to you tonight is the love of God, because I still can't comprehend it. I can't understand it. It don't make sense to me how he could love somebody like me. But yet he does. In his humiliation, my friend, every aspect of his life, in the way that he dressed, in the fact that he had no place to lay his head, and the fact of how he was mocked and mistreated, he was humiliated. But the final act of humiliation took place there as he was whipped and scourged, and that crown of thorns was laid upon his head, and that robe. And they said, Here's your king. Here he is. That's our king. Listen to me tonight. Do you love him as much as you love your own soul? Because boy, I tell you, he loved you that much. See, this friendship isn't supposed to be just one-sided. You ever had a friendship that was one-sided? It didn't work out too well for you, did it? At least it didn't for me. This friendship's got to be two ways. He talked about over there, once again, when we look about what he says in Ecclesiastes. I want to read that again. Pray for us, I'll find my spot. He said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Church, tonight, we can labor all we want to. We can look out and see the fields are white and ready for harvest all we want to. There's people in this church, by their testimony, by what they tell us, that they're lost. We can labor, we can get up, and we can sing, and we can do everything that we want to try to do. But until we recognize Jesus Christ for who and what He is, honey, we ain't ever going to get there. You say, well, preacher, you ought not say that. That's the truth of it. He's got to be exalted by each and every one of us for the great love and appreciation that we have in our heart for what He did for us. On a cross at Calvary. He said, for if they fall, the one will lift his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. He said again, if two lie together when they have heat, how can one be warm alone? Well, I'll tell you what, when I'm walking alone, oftentimes, boy, I'll get cold and indifferent. I'll get lukewarm. The Lord said over there in Revelations, He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. He said, because I can do something with you then. He said, but when you get lukewarm, He said, I'd just spew you out of my mouth. He said, if you's hot or cold, I can do something with that. But my friend, if you're in that condition right now, if you can't feel Him, get down to a place to where you can ask God, Lord, help me. I want to feel you again. How much do you love Him? Examine yourself. I'm telling you today, I had to examine myself. How much? How many stripes was enough for you to have eternal salvation? How much? Thanks be unto God, He took that beating for me and for you. He said, how can one be warm alone? I think back about those two that was walking there on the road to Emmaus, you know. The Lord, He showed up. They didn't know. He began to talk with them. He began to walk with them. He sat down and communed with them. He ate with them. After He got done, He opened up their eyes and they seen Him, and then they disappeared and they looked over at one another and they said, did our heart not burn within us? My friend, how long has it been since your heart has burned within you? I'm talking about God has brought you down to a place where you remember that love. You can feel it. I'm telling you that we've got a friend over there it talks about that stick closer than a brother. You know what? I know I'm everywhere tonight. I'm sorry. Gospel of John says this. Now listen to what he says. Now listen! Listen to me, church. We've got to go back and remember. He says in the 13th verse, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He's your friend. He laid down his life for you. He gave it all for you that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He said, henceforth I call you not servants, For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. He said, but I have called you friends. You're his friend, and he loves you as he does his own soul, and he's made a covenant with you. He's made a promise. How many times have you been made promises in this life that people's failed you? Boy, I'm telling you, the Lord has never failed me. Not once. I've failed him many times. How many times I've had to make a journey back to him just like the prodigal son. Boy, I've got out there in the world and I've wallowed around in the swine and got muddy and got filthy with the things of the world and I've crawled my way back to him. And you know what? Just as his father done, you know what he did? He come running to me. He met me. He greeted me because he's my friend. There's a song years ago that we used to sing, Gone Away with a Friend. One of these days I'm going to go away with a friend. Now listen, he said, I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You're his friend. When we go to him in prayer, you want a meeting? You want a revival? You go to him in prayer asking God in all supplication and believing that he's going to give it to you. Go to him in confidence. Go to him boldly. Go boldly. Believing and knowing that God answers prayer. Jonathan, not only did he love him as he loved his own soul, he made a covenant with him. He said, but Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him, and he gave it to David, and he gave him his garment. And even his sword and his bow and his girdle. Jonathan was the heir. His inheritance was going to be great. He looked over there at David and he said, David, I love you enough. He said, I'm going to take my robe. He said, I'm going to place it upon you. Well, I'm telling you. He said, I see you as family. He said, I see what's coming forward. Listen to me tonight. There ain't no greater love than the love of God. Jesus said that he looked out and he seen us as a friend. He's clothed us. He's clothed us with righteousness. He's cleaned us up on the inside. He's cleaned us with his blood. He's cleansed every aspect of us. The outward appearance of this flesh, what is, if you will, corruptible, my friend, it gets filthy. It gets entangled with the world. But what's on here on the inside, brother, I'll tell you, it might, the fire might get down a little bit, but she's never gone out. There's still an ember in here that glows. There's still an ember in here that glows. It's never gone out. He's taken that robe and he's placed it upon you and he's clothed you with his righteousness. He said, hey, no longer are you a stranger. No longer are you this or that, but he said, you're part of the family now. You're part of the family of God, and he's placed that robe upon you. And then not only that, but he said, here, I'll give you my sword. And my friend, I know tonight maybe I don't have the best, the best speech a lot of times, but I'll tell you tonight, God has given us his sword that we might be able to go out and fight the battles that he's given us. He's given us his word. He's given us everything that we need, that we might be able to look into him, that he might be our help. Listen. He said, even to his sword. He said, to his bow. He said, I've gave you the bow. That we might be able to send forth our prayers up to God. He said, I've clothed you. I've gave you the sword. And he said, I've gave you the bow. And he said, not only that I've gave you the girdle. He said, I've put upon you the belt of truth. My friend, he's given us everything that we need. Everything that we need to sustain in this life. How long has it been since you went back and thought about the friend tonight that we've come here to worship and praise? How long has it been since you went back and thought about the stripes that you're healed? How many did it take that we might be healed? I don't know. I don't know how many it took. I don't know if it took 39. I don't know if it took 120. I don't know how many, but I'm going to tell you tonight that I'm thankful for every single one that he took for me. I'm thankful for that, because there's not a doubt in my mind that as he was on that cross, that I was on his mind. I believe that with everything that makes me up. I believe that he looked out. I don't know. I know that he said there that he knew David even from his mother's womb. He knew David. I'm telling you, I believe he knew in his foreknowledge everything. And boy, I'll tell you tonight, I believe he knew me. I believe he knew that there was going to be a little boy one night that was going to need a Savior. And he said, I'll take that whipping. He said, I'll take that crown of thorns. He said, I'll take every bit of it. And not only did he do it for me, but he did it for you because he loved us. My friend, listen to me, church. That's the friend that we've got. That's the kind of love. I told you tonight I'll struggle trying to bring it out to you. But boy, that's the kind of love that I'm talking about. That's love. That's love. Church, you want to start having revival? Exalt and remember the one that brought us this far. Love him with everything that makes you up. Remember him and give him thanks and honor his holy name. Tonight, as we maybe have a verse or two of song, I want to turn the service over to Brother Brad. I'll say this. Lost person, if you're here tonight, you can't imagine. You can't comprehend the kind of love that when God saves you, that he comes right in here and he places in your heart. You can't imagine it. You can't. It's a love. It's a peace. It's far beyond what you can imagine. But everything that I tried in my deepest conviction tonight to portray to you is exactly what Jesus did for you. He gave it all for you that you might be saved. That kind of love I can't imagine. And if you've never felt that kind of love, you think, well, Mama loves me. Granddaddy loves me. These love me. That loves me. That kind of love, don't even touch it. The kind of love that God has for you. As we stand and have a verse of song tonight. If you've never experienced it, seek God while he may be found. Go ahead, brethren.
Number 60.